And welcome into the Monday edition of the Doug Russell Podcast. We've got a ton to get to over the time that we have today. We've got some NFL football. We've got some Packers football. We've got some Badgers football. And we've got to talk a little bit later on in the show about whether or not Giannis Antetokounmpo is actually going to sign that Supermax extension, because time is ticking. We're now a week away from D-Day, I guess you could say. Jim Ozarski from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Bucks beat writer, he's going to join us a little bit later on in the program. As always, you can find us on our social medias at Doug Russell Pod on both Instagram and Twitter. You can search for the Doug Russell Podcast on YouTube and on Facebook. And if you want everything that also includes our email address, which is DougRussellPod@gmail.com, you can find it on our website. Very simple, DougRussellPod.com. Again, DougRussellPod.com. All right, we start with the Packers, who took care of business at Ford Field.
Rodgers looking for Devontae Adams. Cutting it to the inside, and there he goes for a Packers touchdown. Number 14 to lead the NFL this year for Devontae Adams. Rodgers looking right, throwing right. It is held on to. What a grab by Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Rodgers stepping, running. Looking to get to the pylon, and he's in for the go-ahead touchdown. Looking for the leak out, and he's got it. Robert Tonyan, his ninth touchdown reception of the season, and it's a two-score Packers advantage here in the fourth. All right, 53-yard field goal. That's right at Crosby's range for the season. And now that five-yard penalty makes it a whole lot more complicated. This would be a season-long make, and it would tie his career long if he made this one.
See, this is one where I think I would go punting it.
58 yards for a two-score lead. And Mason Crosby delivers. Throwing underneath to Tonyan, and he is past the sticks. Down to the 34-yard line. Indeed, a first down for Green Bay. And that'll do it. And now the Green Bay Packers, with one more knee, will pick up their 10th victory of the season. And guess what? There is a tie atop the NFC for the number one seed, and the Packers have the tiebreak over the Saints. Matt LaFleur with his 23rd win in just 2 years. First Packer head coach to win 10-plus in each of his first 2 years. The NFC North champions again are the Green Bay Packers.
Play-by-play courtesy of Fox Sports. The Packers wind up beating the Lions at Ford Field 31-24. Matt LaFleur now 23-6 in the regular season as Packers head coach.
You know, it's never easy. It's never perfect in this league, but our guys stick together. They battle. We knew it was going to be a four-quarter battle, and we're going to enjoy this one. We're going to enjoy it for one night, and then we're going to get back to work because there's a lot out in front of us, and we know what's the work that it's taken to get to this point, and nothing changes in our mind. So we got to attack it one day at a time, one game at a time.
I just feel really good about our team, but we're going to focus one day at a time. And I know we have the Carolina Panthers coming up on a short week. I know they'll be gassed up, ready to play. It sounds like they're going to get some guys back. And we got to make sure we bring our best each and every week, because if you don't, it's just too competitive in this league. You can't take anything for granted. You got to earn everything that you get.
You know, I really like the vibe of this team, the energy of the guys, and the way the guys enjoy each other and kind of fight through adversity. This offense is different than we've had in a few years, for sure. You know, we have a dynamic playmaker, and we have a lot of great dudes who understand their roles and play them really, really well.
Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, who went 26 of 33 for 290 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions, at a quarterback rating of 133.6. As for who caught all of Rodgers' passes, Devontae Adams, the leading receiver, with seven catches for 115 yards and a touchdown. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, six receptions, 85 yards and a score. Robert Tonyan, five receptions for 36 yards and a score. Alan Lazard, Aaron Jones, and newcomer Tavon Austin each had two receptions. Back to MVS for a moment. His touchdown catch, a contested grab that had a high degree of difficulty, maybe some redemption for some of his egregious drops earlier in the season.
You know, he's got a couple weeks without a ton of targets, didn't hang his head. He actually made a bunch of plays in the run game. You know, he was lead blocker. You know, him and Chariots of Fire guy were running down on that play. But he's really kept a good attitude about himself, and I'm really proud of him. And he did a really nice job today. Good strong hands back to the football on that one, and some other really nice plays for us today.
Quez is the perfect example of a guy just doing his 111. And, you know, I know he's been battling battling, like we brought up earlier, in terms of blocking his butt off. And you saw it on the Aaron Jones long touchdown run a week ago versus Philly. And then for a guy to come through and make the touchdown catch was incredible. Just really, really proud of his effort. I think he's done a great job of bringing a lot of energy and excitement to practice and really straining and digging it to try to get better each and every day. And it shows through in the game situations. He is a guy that has probably improved as much as anybody on our offense over the course of 2 years.
To be able to overcome, you know, a lack of targets, not really playing the way you want to play, and, you know, everything that comes with that, you know, I got a lot of respect for that man for coming out and just catching the ball the way he did. And, you know, you could see as the game went on, just the more and more comfortable catching the ball and then starting to look to get yak immediately. So that's the way we play. Our mental is always trying to be on the next play, and for him to come out and do that, it says a lot about how his mind state is right now.
Fellow wide receiver Davante Adams, who now has his eyes squarely on keeping the number one seed in the NFC playoffs the Packers now hold after their win and the Saints loss at Philadelphia on Sunday.
We got it now. So, I mean, it's basically just about finishing the season strong, not taking any of these last games light, and taking care of business. You know, we got an opponent who has a really good team. Their record would show otherwise, but, you know, I got a lot of respect for this team coming into Lambeau on Saturday, so we can't take that light, and then finish out those last two games after that. It's one game at a time, but we went out. We're putting ourselves in a pretty good position.
It's important for sure to get that extra week of rest. The big thing, though, you know, and you guys know this, you know, we've played in, I believe, 4 NFC Championship games, all 4 on the road, so being able to have the whole thing come through Green Bay is something that we've talked about for a long time, we've wanted, and we've never had. So I think that would definitely be in our favor with the weather that we have in Green Bay.
Up this coming week for the Packers, you may have heard Aaron and Davante allude to it on Saturday. It's the reeling Carolina Panthers. They've lost 6 out of their last 7. And in that grouping, the Bears, Falcons, and Broncos. So it's not like they're losing to the best teams in the NFL. They're losing to some of the bottom feeders in the league so far this year under first-year head coach Matt Rhule. I think they'll get it turned around, as you heard Matt LaFleur allude to a moment ago. They've got a couple of guys coming back this week, or expected back this week. One of those guys included that is expected back, who hasn't been able to play, is running back Christian McCaffrey. All right, taking a look around the rest of the league, I mentioned it a minute ago, but the Eagles did the Packers a solid against the Saints.
Hurts calling for the football. He gives it to Sanders. He's in! Touchdown! Miles Sanders has seconds of the game!
Play-by-play courtesy of WIP Radio in Philadelphia. New Orleans falls to 10-3 on the season. Philadelphia now 4-8-1. The Eagles hold on for a 24-21 victory over the Saints. Back to the NFC North, Bears fans have to be wondering where this was all year.
Snap Trubisky with the empty spread, tosses it quickly over the middle, Robinson the catch for the touchdown. Touchdown, Bears! They put up 29 so far on the Texans in the first half.
Jeff Joniak on WBBM Radio in Chicago. The Bears turn up the Texans 36-7, the final score. Chicago doing it on offense and on defense. For the Bears, there's 7 sacks, the most since week 11 back in 2005. Chicago now 6-7 on the season. Houston falls to 4-9. On Florida's Central Gulf Coast, the Vikings got gronked.
Great motion to the left. Offset eye formation and the rolling pass toward the end zone. Caught by Gronkowski. Rollout by Brady. Hits his favorite target. And spiking the ball with the right hand is Gronkowski. Holy Gronkowski, the Bucs get a touchdown. It's 23-6.
The great Gene Deckerhoff on WDAE Radio in Tampa. The Buccaneers clobber the Vikings 26-14. Tampa Bay now 8-5 on the season. Minnesota falls to 6-7. By the way, the Buccaneers have won 7 out of their last 9 matchups against Minnesota. In Seattle, the Seahawks flew past the hapless Jets.
Hyde stays in the backfield on 3rd down and goal from the 3 with 3 receivers right side. Russ gets the shotgun snap, looks to the end zone, steps away from one man, throws to the back of the end zone, touchdown, Seahawks, David Moore!
Steve Rabel on KIRO Cairo Radio in Seattle. This one was a laugher. The Seahawks dumped the hapless Jets 40-3, the final score. Seattle now 9-4 on the season. The Jets are 0-13. It's the first time in team history that they've started the season with 13 straight losses. The balance of power in the NFC East isn't decided just yet, as the Giants' winning streak is over at 4.
Murray under center, Drake behind him, takes the snap, give to Drake, jumps over the top with the ball in the air, waiting for a signal from the official. Touchdown, Kenyon Drake gets it across, and it's 19-0.
Dave Pasch on KTAR Radio in Phoenix as the Cardinals clobber the Giants 26-7. Arizona still in the playoff chase at 7-6. New York falls to 5-8 on the season. Meanwhile, all of a sudden, Washington is in first place. Football team, if you will, the Washington football team. They beat San Francisco in Arizona. There'll be a quiz later. 23-15, the final score. The 49ers fall to 5-8 on the season. Moving on to Sin City. It was the Jonathan Taylor Show.
Second down and long for Indianapolis. Moving it right to left. They'll sweep it right side to Jonathan Taylor. Huge hole. 45, 50, 45, 40. Down the far sideline. Outsprinting everybody. 10, 5. Jonathan Taylor. Touchdown. I-N-D-Y. A 62-yard run for the rookie out of Wisconsin.
First and goal inside the 5. The ball is sitting between the hash marks around the 3-yard line. Out of the gun, it's a wildcat for Nyheim Hines, and he will run it to Jonathan Taylor. Cuts up, he's in! Touchdown, Jonathan Taylor! Touchdown, I-N-D-Y! And the Colts have their biggest lead of the day.
Play-by-play courtesy of ESPN 107.5, The Fan. The Colts clobber the Raiders in Las Vegas 44-27. Indianapolis now 9-4 on the season. The Raiders have lost 3 of their last 4 after starting the season 6-3. They're now 7-6 on the campaign. The game of the day in the AFC was in South Florida, and it did not disappoint.
Ad hoc, the Des Moines native, punts it away. Left-footed punter taken by Hardman. First time he's going to return today.
Oh.
And he's got an edge at the 40, 45. Hardman at midfield, 45, 40. Two blocks, 30, 25. Jet fuel, 15, 10, 5. Get your boarding pass. The Jet is taken into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Mitch Holthus on WDAF Radio in Kansas City. The Chiefs beat the Dolphins in South Florida 33-27. Kansas City 12-1 on the season. They clinched the AFC West. The Dolphins fall to 8-5 on the season. Don't look now, but the Steelers have lost 2 straight.
2nd and 7. Bills at the 13-yard line. The snap. Josh wants to throw it again. Cox's arm fires into the end zone. Caught! Touchdown, Buffalo! Touchdown, Bills. Gabriel Davis caught that one. A 13-yard strike from Josh Allen. The Bills are in control now.
And the Bills went on to win 26-15. Buffalo now 10-3 on the season. Pittsburgh is 11-2. Play-by-play courtesy of WGR Radio in Buffalo. John Murphy on the play-by-play for Buffalo. It's their first win at home against Pittsburgh since 1999. Elsewhere around the league, it was the Rams improving to 9-4 on the season. They take apart the Patriots 24-3 in Inglewood. For New England, 7 losses in a season for the first time since 2002. The Cowboys beat up on the Bengals 30-7, so Dallas now 4-9 on the season. Cincinnati falls to 2-10-1. More importantly, though, for Cowboys head coach and former Packers head coach Mike McCarthy, Dallas says on Monday that he will return next season as the Cowboys head coach. The Titans beat up on the Jaguars 31-10. Tennessee now 9-4 on the season. Jacksonville has lost 12 in a row, 1-12 on the season. Taking a look at the standings, the Packers and Saints are in a virtual tie for the top spot, but both Green Bay and New Orleans may be 10-3. The Packers did beat the Saints head-to-head, however, earlier this season. That gives the Packers that all-important top seed because, again, this season it's only the top seed that gets the first-round bye in the playoffs. Followed up by the Saints and the Packers are the Seahawks and the Rams. They're both 9-4 on the season. Tampa Bay is 8-5. Arizona 7-6. The Vikings, Washington, and the Bears all 6-7, all still in the hunt in the NFC. Meanwhile, over in the AFC, your top seed is the Kansas City Chiefs at 12-1 on the season. They're followed by the number 2 seed, Pittsburgh Steelers, now 11-2 on the year. Buffalo, 9-3, along with Cleveland. Also in the hunt, Tennessee, Indianapolis, Miami, Baltimore, and even Las Vegas. Just 3 weeks left to play in the regular season. To college football, Saturday night in Iowa City was painful to watch if you're a Badgers fan.
Al Petrus stands back in the pocket, throws it down the field, has a man open, caught 10, 5, goal line, touchdown, Iowa, and a cartwheel for good measure by Amir Smith-Marset, who gets up a little gimpy. Don't hurt yourself, Amir.
Play-by-play courtesy of Learfield IMG College. Gary Dolphin on the play-by-play. This one wasn't pretty if you're a Badgers fan. Again, struggling on offense, only scoring 7 points. And when you struggle on offense, eventually your defense is going to wear down, which is exactly what happened once again on Saturday. The final score, 28-7.
I thought defensively, you know, we did some really good things, especially the first half, you know, giving us a chance. And offensively, some moments, but just too inconsistent. But you're going to go back and look at it, it still comes down to the basics of football.
Badgers head coach Paul Christ, who despite the struggles of his freshman quarterback, does see better days ahead for Graham Mertz.
He did, and I thought, you know, gave guys a chance to make some plays. You know, first few plays got a little rhythm going early, and I think that helped. But yes, I think he was able to be a little bit better in that second half, and yet, you know, we got a ways to go.
And yes, there are a lot of freshmen on the Badgers offense, not just Mertz, but also Jalen Berger, Chimray Dike, and others. Christ, though, doesn't want to hear it.
Yeah, it, you know, particularly at the skill positions. And, you know, you saw it in just some of the simplest of, you know, lining up. And that still comes down to us as coaches, you know. And, you know, we've got to be better there.
That's one thing that I love to hold on to. And I know I'll never let my confidence change, especially my trust in myself and my trust in my team. And so for me, it hasn't wavered at all. But we just got to clean some stuff up and just got to have a great week of practice leading this next week.
Quarterback Graham Mertz, who did struggle, completing just 20 of his 38 passes for 169 yards, no touchdowns, one interception, a quarterback rating of just 33.8. The good news, and you just kind of heard it there from Graham himself, it was announced on Sunday. This coming Saturday, they'll get their shot against Minnesota in the Big Ten's inaugural Champions Week.
For me personally, I'd be grateful for another game. Obviously, you just got to turn this film on, watch it, learn from it. And then for me, it's just keep attacking each week like I do and just got to stack great days of practice and just attack it like we normally do. So offense got to help out the defense and everybody's got to learn from this.
It's been a rough year for the Badgers. Things started off great for Wisconsin. They beat up on Illinois, who, by the way, fired Lovie Smith over the weekend. But the final score in week one was 45-7. Graham Mertz was sharp. He was throwing touchdowns. Everything looked great. Then they had to take a couple of weeks off because of a COVID outbreak within the Wisconsin program. So their games against Nebraska and Purdue were canceled. But then they came back at Michigan and clobbered the Wolverines 49-11. You thought all was well. And then they got on this skid where they just weren't able to score. They lose at Northwestern 17-7. Then their game against Minnesota, the first time that it was scheduled, that had to be canceled because of the Gophers' COVID-19 outbreak. Then Wisconsin comes back the week after that, and they take on a very good Indiana team with a very good defense and really, really struggle, losing 14-6. And then, of course, against Iowa on the road over the weekend, 28-7, the final score. So at least they do get a second shot at Minnesota, and I don't know what or if they're even going to a bowl game or what kind of bowl game they might even be invited to. This has been the strangest of strange years in college football. So hopefully it's one that you can, when all is said and done, just kind of look back on and say that there were obviously some growing pains, but the foundation was also set with guys like Graham Mertz and Chimray Dike, who I think has an incredible future ahead of him. Jalen Berger, who I think has an incredible future ahead of him. The direction of the Badgers program is going in the right direction. I am absolutely convinced of that. That having been said, yeah, they've looked really bad at times this season, especially on offense. There are better days ahead. Hopefully they can defend the axe coming up this Saturday at Camp Randall Stadium. It'll be a 3:00 kickoff on Big Ten Network. All right, moving along. The story of the NBA is without question right now, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis, the 2-time defending NBA most valuable player, as I sit here today, as I record this, has exactly 1 week. Today is December 14th. He has until December 21st as to whether or not he's going to sign his Supermax extension. Now, he can sign it after the season, but if he doesn't sign it before the regular season begins, then he is unable to, again, until the signing period after the season ends. But also, if he doesn't sign the Supermax, I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say that this is going to be the story of the National Basketball Association this upcoming season. As much as you can decry that, well, we're not going to let it become a distraction, it's going to be a distraction. That's inevitable. It's unquestionably going to be a distraction. Joining me now here on the Doug Russell Podcast, he is the newly minted Bucks beat writer from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. They plucked him off the Packers beat, and now he's on the Bucks beat. We welcome in Jim Ozarski into the Doug Russell Podcast. Jim, I appreciate the time. I guess the first question that I have, I wasn't able to be on the conference call with Giannis. Every player and, you know, Coach Budenholzer on several occasions met with the media via Zoom. I was in the studio over at 97.3, the game, so I was unable to jump on the conference call itself, but you were there. So I'd like to get your perspective on this. When Giannis repeatedly said that the decision as to whether or not he's going to sign the Supermax, it's not in my hands. Whose hands are they in then? What did he mean when he said the decision is out of his hands?
It is a great question, because you know, I believe he was asked later in that interview, Doug, well, you're at a position, Giannis, that if you ask for anything, they will say yes. And he turned it into a joke and said, well, does that mean if I ask for custard at 6 a.m. before practice, they'll give it to me? And the answer was yes. The way that I understood that, and from covering Aaron Rodgers for so many years, Doug, I'm sort of reticent to put words in people's mouths or thoughts in their brains if they don't actually say it. But my interpretation was that, okay, if the player says it's not up to him, it's not really a lie, but clearly the Bucks haven't said the thing or done the thing that he wants yet. Now, he didn't say what that is. I don't know, Doug, if that means he only wants to sign a one-year deal with no options. I don't know if that means he wants a two-year deal with rolling options, right? And I could see from the Bucks' point of view, you know, we could joke about, oh, they'll say yes to anything, but I could see from the point of view of the organization saying, hey, wait a minute. You know, if we're going to commit to spending $40 million plus, you know, on a rising basis every year, but every year we have to wonder if you're going to commit, every year we have to play with the salary cap, I could see why the organization would say, well, maybe it should be 2 years or 3 years with an option. That's where I left it in terms of understanding what he meant.
I think it was on Thursday, Jim, James Harden had narrowed his list of teams that he would want to be dealt to four. And inexplicably, one of those teams was the Bucks. Now, he, Harden, and Giannis, they have something between the two of them. I don't know if it's a personality clash. I don't know if there's something deeper than that that's personal between the two of them. But the fact of the matter remains is that they're both prolific scorers. These two can't exist on the same floor at the same time, can they?
Well, there's a couple of things there. One, I think so, because Giannis would allow that, if that makes sense. I think whatever he has said, there's a part of me that truly believes that Giannis is a win-first, basketball-first star. And so if he were to tell John Horst and ownership, this will work, then that means it's going to work from his end, and you know the team would have to just deal with James Harden and all that comes with him after the fact. So I guess what I'm more interested in, I guess, Doug, is the way this is developed in Harden's camp. So this came out basically with a Brooklyn or bust mindset, but that was never going to fly. I mean, you're creating a one-team market that, you know, Brooklyn at some point could just say, well, we're going to give you one draft pick, and that's it, because James Harden doesn't want to go anywhere else. So I kind of wonder, Doug, if this was more of Harden's camp, you know, being asked to say, hey, can you widen your scope a little bit, create a market? If you notice, he added several other Eastern Conference contenders to that list. So I do kind of wonder if some of it is him helping Houston, because if that's untenable, and it sounds every day like it's becoming more so, you know, having a one-team market just isn't going to happen. I mean, Houston said, you know what, how about you just don't get paid and you sit out? So I think, which is the only leverage they have. I think it could work if it were to happen because of who Giannis is. But in the long run, Doug, man, that you'd have to strip the entire Bucks roster to make this happen.
During Giannis's news conference this past week, he was asked about the pens that his teammates gave him. Giannis's birthday was on Sunday, and his teammates, led by Chris Middleton, but then, you know, one after the other, after the other, after the other, presented him with a pen, as in, here's a pen to sign your Supermax contract. And I think that it was something that was lighthearted and tongue-in-cheek at first, but just judging by the tone that he used to talk about that birthday present en masse from his teammates, I felt like he was just more annoyed by it than anything else.
I'll take it at his word, which was, I didn't understand it when Chris did it, and then when Pat did it, and whatever other teammates followed, it was kind of funny. And then, yeah, after getting 20 from maybe all the way around, look, Dougie said he got tired of it, so, or got old, so I'm going to have to agree in that sentiment that he probably is like, oh, okay, I got the point. Do I really need 20 of these? But I think it shows that while he said it's concentrating on basketball and doesn't want to talk about it, I mean, he's not an outright fibber, I guess, if that's the right word. I mean, he wears his emotions on his sleeve. I mean, that's what endears him, I think, to the fan base, to the national, global basketball fan base, that you know when he's excited, when he's upset, and all that stuff. So, yeah, I don't doubt by the end of that he was like, oh, okay, guys, I get it. It was a funny joke, and now I'm, you know. So I understand that for sure. I don't think it means, you know, he's turned off by his new teammates, because all of them said they signed in Milwaukee because he's here and they win. So I don't think he's going to be mad at some of these new guys for participating in what was a lighthearted attempt at saying, hey, you know, we want you here.
Up until, I guess, last week, you were on the Packers beat for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, but this isn't the first time that you've covered Giannis and have covered the Bucks or covered basketball. Tell us about that post of you, I think you were eating pizza with a very, very, very young-looking Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, so he was, it seems like forever ago, 8 seasons. He was drafted in 2013, 15th pick overall. Doug, you were in Milwaukee for that. People were nonplussed. No one knew who this was, how to pronounce his name. The Bucks were in basketball hell at that point, kind of this, drafting 15th. Kind of in the middle of the pack under the Herb Cole, you know, regime of just get to the playoffs and right. So, yeah, I'll be honest. I was one of the few media guys at that time who actually tried to talk to him on a regular basis. I mean, part of it is we were both a year into our careers in Milwaukee. And yeah, so I just tried to get to know him. And as the first round pick, you know, that came with certain perks, and, you know, there were sponsorships, and we were at Palermo's Pizza. Doug, I'll say that moment was kind of hilarious, because we went from trying to explain to him what ranch dressing is or was, or how do you make that, into, you know, him sitting down and talking about the hate and the racial bias that, you know, his family faced in Greece, you know, as Nigerian immigrants. They were illegal, very racist parts of Greece that don't want Nigerians in their country. So they lived with the fear of deportation on a regular basis. So to hear that from a 19-year-old, to have that kind of dichotomy, which, of course, we all came to know, the world came to know, right? Chipotles and smoothies and all those things, but also how serious he could be and how mature beyond his years he has had to be, was all evident in that moment. So, yeah, it's over at my Instagram, at Jim Ozarski. By all means, go check out, I think someone called it Baby Giannis. It's amazing to see the change of what 8 years can do. Even when you're still as young as 26.
What's the biggest change that you've seen in Giannis since then?
I'll say it is the embrace of business. And I will say it is the embrace. I don't think you would do things like unfollow all of your teammates in the organization on social media if you didn't kind of like what comes with that, right? That's what other stars around the league have done. And he's embraced that. Right. He's embraced, oh, it's not up to me. And, oh, there's, you know, oh, there was clandestine meetings that were not so clandestine with ownership about what he wants. And then to say, oh, I didn't say those. I mean, I don't know if that's the kind of athlete we saw as a 20-year-old. I don't think he knew. now he's got some juice. So while I think he's different than Harden or Westbrook or LeBron in many, many ways, I think that part of it clearly is kind of fun to be the king, if you will.
So then I guess the $64,000 question, not only in Milwaukee, but in the NBA, is, in your opinion, and I can't hold it to you because I don't think anybody knows except for maybe Giannis, perhaps his girlfriend, maybe his brothers, maybe his mom, I don't know. But in your opinion, what do you think? Do you think that Giannis signs the Supermax extension before the winter deadline of December 21st?
No, and let me qualify it by saying you're saying the Supermax, which is the 5 years, 240 plus. I don't think that that's what happens. I think there's a desire, based on what I heard and how we started this conversation, for him to maybe have some flexibility, maybe not be as locked in as 5 years. So I think, Doug, I don't know if it's by December 21st. I don't know if it's after the end of the season. I do think this is not his last year in Milwaukee, but I don't think it's going to be a five-year commitment, or at least in the traditional sense.
Jim Ozarski from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Milwaukee Bucks beat writer. Jim, I appreciate the time and the insight so much. Let's do it again soon.
Thanks so much, Doug. Talk to you soon.
Jim Ozarski from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel joining us here on the Doug Russell Podcast. That'll do it for the Monday show. Of course, you can always find us on Twitter and Instagram, username at Doug Russell Pod. You can email the show, DougRussellPod@gmail.com. Search for us on both Facebook and on YouTube, or for all of the above, everything that I just mentioned before, you can check out our website. It is very simply DougRussellPod.com. Again, DougRussellPod.com. Have a great Monday. We'll talk to you on Wednesday right here on the Doug Russell Podcast.